Acts chapter 6, I've used these verses a lot for leadership here at the church and for Team Good News. But I just want to point out something different here today. Let's start in verse 1. Now about this time when the number of disciples were greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily ministration, distribution of relief. So the 12 apostles convened the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not seemly or desirable or right that we should have to give up or neglect preaching the word of God in order to attend to serving at tables and superintending the distribution of food. Therefore, select out from among yourselves, brethren, 7 men of good and attested character and repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may assign to look after this business and duty. But we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word." It's interesting, this word devoted. I used to use this growing up talking about different people. I was raised Catholic, and we would say, "He's a devoted Catholic," or "they're a devoted Christian." You've heard that before. And what do they mean? Well, they're saying that they practice their faith, that they engage in their faith, they participate, and people know their faith means a lot to them. The word actually means to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person, activity, or a cause. And so we look at the apostles. They devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now let me ask you, on your tombstone, no one likes to think about this, but if it just fill in the blanks, "Here lies blank, they were devoted to blank." What are you devoted to? If they were going to talk about your life, what are you devoted to? What is your time spent doing? And so the apostles said here in Acts, they were devoting themselves to the ministry of the word in prayer. But I noticed this too, that it's also talking about the people that they chose. Look how they phrase that, full of the Holy Spirit. People full of the Holy Spirit pray, and wisdom. And people that are full of wisdom are full of the word. So they picked people that were full of the word and of prayer to run the business of distribution of the food, but also so that the apostles could devote themselves more time to prayer and the word. I think that's a real good message for us today. Last week we talked about, you know, knowing God and being in his word and how important was. That was an excellent message. If you weren't here, you need to go back and listen to the podcast or watch the service. And so today I want to kind of just piggyback on that, only talk about the other part of it, about the prayer part. I've been saying that August, we're preparing the congregation for what's next for Good News Church. Those aren't just like words we're saying or kind of a cute phrase to have or something catchy, you know. But we're going to be talking about what are the next steps for Good News Church. And we're talking Sunday, September 8th is the day we'll begin to share some of the things the Lord's been sharing with us. And I want for us to move forward together. I want us to move forward with one soul, one heart, one purpose. That's not easy to do. That's hard to do. It can't be from up here. It's got to be here. Things have to be caught. And from the Spirit. And so I want that for you. I want you to catch what's happening, what God is doing right now. I want you to go with us, not just with us, but with God and where he's leading us. There's and I don't know, were we able to get the Luke 18 and the Passion? I don't know if you were able to get it. They sometimes can't get that translation, but I'm just going to read it to you. I encourage you to go back and read it. But Luke 18, verse 1, in the, you guys got it, good. In the Passion Translation, says this: "One day Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope." If you're here today and you're losing hope or you're discouraged about the future, you need to be praying. If you have hope, you need to be praying. He shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a civil judge, a thick-skinned and godless man who had no fear of others' opinions. And there was a poor widow in that town who kept pleading with the judge, "Grant me justice and protect me against my oppressor." He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking, and eventually he said to himself, "This widow keeps annoying me, demanding her rights, and I'm tired of listening to her. Even though I'm not a religious man and don't care about the opinions of others, I'll just get her off my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor. Then she'll leave me alone." The Lord continued, "Did you hear what the ungodly judge said? That he would answer her persistent request? Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day?" That's talking about prayer. "He will pour out his spirit upon them." And I can show you time and time in the book of Acts, after prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. "He will not," listen to this, "he will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. He will not delay." And I know our time table is different than his. And we need something called patience, faith and patience. The word patience means cheerful endurance. Meaning we're enduring something, but we do it cheerfully. Because we know he will answer our prayer. We know that victory is on the other side. But we have to walk it out. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by our feelings. We walk by faith. We walk by what we believe. And we believe his word. We believe what he said to us. But I just love this. His people. His children. He responds. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. Just want to encourage you today, don't give up. Don't draw back. People are quitting left and right. Leaders are quitting left and right. Don't be one of those. God, you know, you're right on the goal line. You're right there. Don't give up now. So be ever praying, ever expecting. That's a good word for today. Be ever praying, ever expecting. When you're expecting, you live differently. You don't complain. You don't whine. You don't complain about the government. You don't complain about your neighbor. You don't complain about anybody because you know good things are coming your way. You're expecting miracles. And then expectancy. If he said it, he will do it. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. The election's coming. I've got no faith in Washington, D.C. If you're putting your trust in them, I'll be praying for you. If you're going to get all wrapped up in this election and this and that and this side and that side, have at it. Go for it. Not me. I'll vote. But I'm doing my thing. I'm doing the Jesus thing. I'm just going to follow the word. Amen or oh me. People think the president is Jesus. They can't do anything. What? You believe in a lie. They can't do anything. If your hope is in that, I just pray for confusion in the government. If they can't do anything. Stay out of my way. Let me run things. Me and Jesus. I'm not going to argue with you about it. not going to write some long diatribe on Facebook about it. No bumper stickers on my car. No signs in my yard. How about a Jesus campaign? I'm just going to put me a sign in my yard. Jesus lives here. Red, white, and blue. Vote Jesus. Vote Jesus. He could really do something. All right, I need to move. Move. Get out of that. So be ever praying, ever expecting. Every year, 4 years, we're just like fooled into thinking, like somehow these guys are going to save us. Let me ask you, have any of the guys you voted for saved you? Okay, all right. So be ever praying, ever expecting. Just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people? That's a good question. Based on church attendance, I don't think he's going to find faithful people. I don't know. The trend, talking about in the U.S. now, is he going to find faithful people? And it's interesting, in this these verses, he's talking about prayer in conjunction to in correlation with faithfulness. Isn't that interesting? So you could maybe say, is he going to find praying people when he comes? Is he? I don't know. Will he find? I hope we need that. I hope he does. I did a study on prayer this week in the book of Acts. 22 references to prayer in 28 chapters. I went through every different reference. In all the major events in Christianity in the Bible, there's a prayer associated with it. The birth of Christ, the Last Supper, the death and resurrection of Jesus, the forming of the early church, the day of Pentecost, and the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. On and on, prayer is associated with all of those things. Even now, I was looking at the whole thing with Saul, who became Paul. I was like, okay, is there a prayer involved with that? When Ananias came to lay hands on him, Saul, at that time, was praying. 3 days he was praying. Prayer is a part of what God's doing. And so, you know, if we're expecting to have some kind of a movement here in Augusta, it's not, let me just tell you, be honest, it's not going to happen if we don't pray. I've got Bible here for it, but it's not going to happen if we don't pray. It won't happen. So we're fooling ourselves to think that it will happen if we don't pray. Now let's go to the Matthew 26 and let's look at Jesus' prayer in the garden. Matthew 26, verse 36. Oh, man. I don't know if I want to read this. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. I'm going to pray over there. So it's a place where he can point and you can see it. Like, you know, if I'm saying, I'm going to pray back there, you guys can look back there. You're going to see me praying back there, right? It wasn't like, I'm going to go 2 miles from you and pray, you know, down there. You wait here. No, I'm praying right over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he took three with him. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther. So, you know, I'm going over there, and I brought three with me part of the way. But then just a little farther, that's where Jesus was. These guys could hear him, but certainly the three could hear him, Peter and his two companions. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Obviously, Jesus is struggling. I mean, this is serious business. Read about the crucifixion. Read about, you know, read Psalm 22, or, you know, read about, you know, Isaiah 53. Read these things about Jesus in the crucifixion. It was horrible just in itself, but then read about it spiritually and the sin of man and sickness and poverty and all that being placed. What did that look like? How do you go and do that? How do you know, God says, you know, it pleased to bruise Jesus. I mean, how do you do that? How does he, and not put up a fight? He wasn't running. He, you know, when they came to get him in the garden, he's just calm. He said, "I could have called legions of angels." Well, John, I think, talks about when they came upon him, he spoke and they all fell on the ground. They're coming to get him. No, he gave himself up. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Then one translation talks about angels came and ministered to him. So he was going back into prayer until he got relief, until he got that, you know, that place of victory, place of confidence. Okay, we're ready to do this. We're ready to go to the cross. Took him three times to pray about it. But I was just thinking about the disciples here. Talk about not understanding the times and seasons. They didn't have a clue what was happening. All that he said to them, and even what he's saying there, he's obviously distressed. Obviously heavy. Literally, the weight of the world's on his shoulders. You've been around those folks. And, you know, and I know they just had the Last Supper, and he wore them out with teaching. And, you know, John 17, long prayer. You know, I know he wore them out. But, I mean, this is it, guys. This is what I've been talking about. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm about to be whipped and beaten and spit upon and thorns on my head and all of that, and then the whole thing. I'm about to die. And these guys, their reaction to it is they're asleep. And I just think about, I guess I'm thinking about America right now. I'm thinking about this country right now, and I think we're asleep. I think about what God wants to do in this country, and we're asleep. We're asleep at the wheel. Caught up in all a bunch of foolishness happening. Gotten our eyes off Jesus. Eyes off his plan for our lives. Used to be so excited about the things of God. A lot of things. Just our guys, what are our eyes on? All the things that the world is on. You really can't tell much different between a Christian today and the world. They have really, there's nearly no difference. You take their life, except maybe they'll come to church on Sunday. You know, every once in a while, maybe they'll give or something like that. And that's great. I'm all for that. You're here. Thank God you're here. But, I mean, we're just really, you know, where's the devotion to God? And if we're talking about devotion, it's talking about ministry to the Word and in prayer. Those ought to be two things that as believers, we ought to be skilled in the Word and in prayer. Now, I wrote down some of the reasons. You probably don't, this is a good time. You probably already tuned me out already. But if you want to do tune me out right now, because this is good. You know, this is a time where you can be texting each other. Oh, Pastor Matt, he's just on one of his things. I don't like what Pastor Matt's wearing today. Oh, so-and-so's over there. Let's talk about them. We can't even stay focused in church. What are some reasons we're not praying? So you just go ahead and raise your hand when I get to yours. Who's got the guts? Susie? Okay, all right, all right. Okay. Jesus. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to words. Okay, all right. Okay, here's the reasons we're not praying. We don't know how. That's a good reason. But we can learn if we don't know how. We don't have time. Any hands on that one? We don't have time. We don't want to. That's what he was dealing with in the garden. My flesh doesn't want to, really. Or I'm not praying because prayer is boring. Anybody? Lights are bright up here. I can't see all the hands. There we go. We don't feel like praying. We don't believe he's listening. I think some people have that. We don't believe he's listening. We don't believe he cares. He may be listening to some people, but he doesn't care. We don't feel like prayer will do any good. Like, what does it matter? It'd be just more beneficial for me to watch TV. It doesn't matter. Or maybe we don't feel spiritual enough. That's something that the pastors do, leaders do, the really on fire people, they'll pray. But that's not something I do. Prayer is for other people. It's not for me. And then here is a really good one. This last one, I know there's a lot more reasons, but this is a really good reason why we're not praying, and I think for a lot of people, and I think it's unconsciously why we're not praying, is we're afraid he's going to speak to us. What if he tells me to do something that I don't want to do? What if he tells me to make some changes? What if he tells me to reinvent myself? I think that's probably, I think part of it, we're afraid. And I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid. All right, I'm going to give you one good reason to pray. A whole bunch of. And everybody do this with me. Do this. With three fingers, three times. Ready? Let's do it again. What does that mean? All right, one more time. This is fun. This is the light entertainment for the session. Put up Jeremiah 33:3. That was good, wasn't it? We got to laugh. We need some humor right now. Okay. Before we read this, punch your neighbor and say, "Are you asleep?" And if they're really asleep, punch them a little harder. God's wanting to do a major thing in the earth right now. Are we asleep? We asleep? Sleep behind the wheel? We don't want to put someone sleepy behind the wheel. We need some caffeine. A double shot of prayer and the word. Extra strength. straight, no cream or sugar. That's what you're getting today, no cream or sugar today. This is espresso, double shot. Is there a triple? I don't know. I'm getting crazy. I'm trying to get you ready. Trying to get you ready for what God's doing. I want you going with us. I want you to wake up. All right, Jeremiah 30. Okay, I'm going to read it. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. You learn about prayer by doing it. Anything you want to learn. Nate, how many hours of practice for the guitar to learn how to play? A lot of hours. Sports, fitness, art. Wish I could just go in there and just paint. We were in Thailand, and we saw elephants that painted. Painted better than us, way better than us. We went into this gallery. They were selling all the elephant artwork, $100, $200, $300. There was this it was almost as big as that poster up there. It was just a beautiful piece of artwork. I mean, I need something big for our great room. I mean, that would have looked great in there. It was done by an elephant. Took some practice, but by God, he got it. If an elephant, it's our new phrase, if an elephant can do it, we need to get those elephants praying. I learned a lot about prayer from Brother Hagin, going to the Holy Ghost meetings. And I think I went to at least about 16 different Holy Ghost meetings. And they would do Holy Ghost meetings at night and prayer during the morning. And it was a very rich time. Brother Hagin would teach on prayer, and then we'd pray as a congregation. And it was just some amazing things. And we've been talking about it, and we feel like some of the amazing things that's been happening in the earth and other nations has been a result of that prayer time we had. I mean, something was happening. I mean, we were on our knees, just a big group of us, and we were just on our knees praying, and something was going on. I didn't know all that was happening, but we were praying about the future things. And then every time I came back from a Holy Ghost meeting, this is what we said, the big thing we learned, the big thing we need to do is to pray in tongues more. Now, I appreciate Martha. Martha and Ralph paid for a lot of our trips to go. I mean, we weren't cheap because we'd bring all the kids. Was it at the Holy Ghost meeting where like Molly and Maddie ordered that room service ice cream? A different time? Molly ordered like $100 worth of ice cream. Yeah. But you're worth it. Every penny of it. I'd do it again. But we would bring them, and then, I don't know, Maddie Sue's, where is she? She's probably in the back. And Maddie Sue had her PFA bag. PFA bag is prepared for anything. Yeah. It's just big. She's like, I don't know how old she is. She's got it full of all the stuff. One time Aretha Hagin, we were sitting right behind Aretha Hagin. She cut herself, and no one had a bandage, but Maddie Sue reached into her PFA bag, pulled out a bandage. She truly was prepared for anything. But, I mean, Martha, that was a lot of seed sown into us for those trips, and we're grateful, very grateful. But to be able to go to those meetings and all that was imparted to us, and we want that to be imparted to you. And that's one of the things Brother Hagin talked about, was the legacy about things. And that's really what we're talking about as we're going into September, is about being able to pass on the things that the Lord has given us. And how can we be more effective to that, not just to the people here, but the people in the city? We're empowering people to give life. But it's not going to happen without prayer. And so we are starting tomorrow morning. And now we have prayer before the services on Wednesday and Sundays. 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, 9:30 on Sundays. Pray back in the comments. We're going to have prayer this week every day from 6 to 7 at night. 6 to 7 at night. Did I say? Okay, thank you. Thank you, dear. I love you. You look great today. You're amazing.
Thank you.
You look really good today. Okay. All right, so prayers at night.
It's
6. From 6 to 7 at night, Monday through Friday.
Yes.
Here at the church.
Great.
Okay. All righty. Okay, now we got that out of the way. Okay. But I want to challenge you. Who can pray with me for an hour? Just one of the days this week. Who can watch and pray for an hour this week? Since I've been making all these lists, I wrote down some of the benefits. Listen to this. You want to hear these benefits?
Yeah.
If you'll come and pray with me for an hour, listen to some of these benefits. I mean, this is just a few. I mean, I just wrote down a couple things. By the way, Kaya and Corey Tiller. Congrats, guys. Good job.
Amen.
Benefit of prayer. I've been married over 30 years, and it gets better and better and better and better. Do I get an amen over there? She had this like, All right, I just wrote down a few of the benefits. Because we got into the ugly, like, reasons why we're not praying. That was depressing. Nobody raised their hand, by the way. That's okay. Joy will manifest. Joy. Sometimes laughing.
Yes.
Dancing. Shouting. Crying. Whatever, but just joy. You'll feel closer and more connected to God. For me, this is every time, feel victorious. Like despite everything that's going on, I know I have victory. I don't feel weak, I feel strong. You feel loved by God, you feel secure. You're expectant and hopeful about the future. You feel tremendous peace. When I get into prayer, my mind just clears of every problem, every situation, and it's just peace that surpasses all understanding. They're trying to get the mood right. Peace. See? You're partnering with God to bring His will to the earth. Prayer is going into heaven and bringing the things up there down to this realm. That's good. Prayer is going into the heavenly realm, bringing what God desires down to here, to the earth. And casting your cares is taking what's down here and giving it to Him. You need to do both of those things. But you feel tremendous peace. You're partnering with God to bring His will to the earth. You become a better prayer. Every time you pray, you get better at it. And then God can use you more. I mean, when you first start, I mean, sure, it's like some baby steps. Sure, that's okay. But still, you're getting all these benefits. You get to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ, like in corporate prayer. And no, you can pray on your own, and we're talking about doing that as well. But in corporate prayer, it's just good to be together, to see each other. Like when I see you guys, I get encouraged. Tom Tiller. One of the most encouraging people on the face of the earth. When I just see Tom, I don't try to overdo it, Tom, but I just light up on the inside. Tom Tiller. Tom Tiller. It's good to see each other.
Yes.
Your brothers and sisters, we get to pray together. And then the unity and harmony that happens. You get to be obedient to his words and his commands. You're encouraged. The word encouraged, you get encouraged. Courage comes. Boldness comes. Many times in the Acts, they'll say, they were filled with the, after they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness. Who could use a little of that? Oh, this is a good one. Mountains move. When we're in prayer, mountains move. Because you speak to mountains. And they move. They have to move. They have to get out of the way. And then this is one of my main motivators for corporate prayer, is this last one. This might be the time when the building's going to shake and I don't want to miss it. How would you like to have the building shakes and you're not there? I don't want that to happen. Who remember? Oh, well, some of you don't. 9/11, Tuesday, September 11, 2001. We were on our way to the airport. I was going to our 20th high school reunion, and we were actually at the airport when the first tower was hit. They closed everything down. Our bags stayed at the airport for 3 days. So that happened on the morning. Early that afternoon, we called an impromptu prayer meeting at the church. Was it 5? 4 or 5 or something like that. The place was packed with people for an impromptu prayer. Why was that? Well, I mean, of course, of fear, but because we might be at war. And so everybody, whatever they were doing, they said, hey, no, we're coming together. We're at war. Someone's attacking us. And we're going to get together and we're going to pray. But I think right now we're kind of lulled into sleep right now. Oh, well, someone else will do the praying. I don't want to wait for something like that to happen before me to start praying again. But the reality is, talking about the enemy, we are at war. Do you think, the forces of darkness are asleep in the city of Augusta? I mean, they're operating while we're asleep. Stealing, killing, and destroying. And don't think twice about it. And scheming and planning and doing whatever they can. And then they're doing all their thing and we're just asleep. In the comfort of our home. Well, we got to wake up. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to wake up. Everybody, I'm talking to old timers today that have been here a long time. I'm talking to people just new to God right now. I'm telling you, this is not a time to be asleep. This is a time to wake up. This is a time to get on our game. And all of us can get better. Time in the Word. Let me put it this way, and I'm not putting a time limit on it, or what you should read or all that. All of us will not suffer by being in the Word more and praying more. Not one of us. I don't care. The one that's in it the most, it's not going to hurt you a little more. And then let me just tell you this. Sean, it's between you. Don't tell anybody. We're thinking about maybe doing some extended prayer. Maybe like 2 hours of prayer. Maybe sometime come in here and do 4 hours of prayer.
Radical.
That's radical. That's crazy. Who's going to do that? Go ahead.
Just going to share this. A friend of ours that pastors out in West Texas, in Lubbock, Texas, they about a year ago made a real move in their church towards praying, and so they meet every day and pray for an hour. And then they started having extended prayer times, and every Sunday night they pray from 8 to midnight. And they've been doing this now for about a year. And they're praying, not just praying, they're praying for their city. And I don't know if you heard about it in the news about 3 weeks ago, right after the two shootings that happened in the same weekend. Well, just several days after that, it came out in the news that a grandmother in Lubbock, Texas, which is where they are, discovered that her grandson was plotting to do a mass shooting, and he had been collecting ammunition and guns and all kinds of, I don't know much about weapons, but all kinds of other type weapons, and had them. And she, his grandmother, had just stumbled upon his plot and called the police and turned him in, which in itself is a miracle that a grandmother would turn in her grandson for such a thing. And they were able to come and to take that from him and get him some help before he did this thing. And the moment that I heard that, and then and just talking to our friends, the moment I heard that, I thought, what about, because we think of all these mass shootings, and then people get, they all get like, we got to do gun control, and we got to do, you know, we got to do all these various things, and maybe we should do a lot of various things. But I tell you, the thing we should be doing is praying, because we cannot stop calamity in the natural. We just, it doesn't matter. You cannot, if you have a nuclear warhead, so do they. You cannot stop calamity in the natural. Only by the Spirit of God can you really stop something. And wouldn't it be awesome if in every city around the globe, God's people were really praying? Not just, you know, but really praying, like what we read about this lady who was persistent in prayer, that even this natural, this judge who was not religious, didn't care about people at all, he granted her request. How much more will our Father in heaven grant our request? The persistence of prayer. And I was just thinking, what if in every city around the country we responded to the war that we are in, the attack that we're all under, because we live in a war zone, guys. You don't necessarily feel it because you don't understand what's going on. We are in a war zone. Planet Earth is in a war. It's in a war for the souls of men. And here we are. And we're just kind of, but the reality is in prayer, as God's people have prayed, that plot was uncovered. And there have been a lot of other plots uncovered. What if God's people just handled this thing? What if just in prayer, we pray, 1 Corinthians says that when we pray in the Spirit, that we pray secrets. We pray divine, we pray. Thank God for the ability he gives us through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability to pray about what we have no knowledge of. And we can pray out things that no one knows, things that are even to come, things, plots that wicked and evil people have planned, and we can pray, and those things can be exposed. A grandmother can stumble on a plot of her grandson and have the courage to turn him in. Not just say, son, don't do that, but the courage to call the authorities on her own grand. I'm telling you, that's amazing to me. And she did that, and it saved people's lives.
Praise God. Anything else? Yeah, I remember back in 89 when the wall came down, East Germany and West Germany, and we were watching it back when I think we had cable or watching it on the news. And the news people didn't say anything about it, but they were singing worship songs on the news loud enough that you could pick it up on the microphone. The people that were there knocking down the wall, they were worshiping God. God had done that. Yeah. Knocking down walls. What can God do in Augusta? His people will pray. And so it's a call to prayer for all of us. We'll do it together. We'll learn if you don't know. And I understand if you don't know. But come join. If you can't, I know people with their schedules, but pray at home. Get your family together and pray. Calling on the men as leaders. Come on. Let's stand up and lead our families. Let's not be asleep. Let's not be comfortable. Let's wake up. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give God praise. Thank you, Father. So like when I'm in prayer, I usually, if I can, I usually have my Bible. I've got a notebook and a pen. And the reason why I've got my Bible and my notebook and pen is prayer is a lot about reminding. It's reminding God of His Word, but then He's reminding us of His Word. That's a lot of what prayer is. Reminding Him of His Word, so you have to know that Word. And He's and so many times I'm writing down scriptures or He gives me something, and then I pray it out. Amen? So just examine your heart where you're at. Make a decision this week to come join us. If you can't come, join us at home. But let's be praying about this city. I've got some other verses, but maybe talk about it next week. We're praying for everybody to be saved in this area. Everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Churches to be raised and formed. For a movement of God in this area to sweep through Augusta and Georgia and South Carolina and this region. The United States. We're partnering with other people in the United States to reach this country. We're believing for big things. Millions and millions of people coming to Christ. Millions of disciples being made, but disciples that know how to make other disciples. We're thinking big. We're praying big. We're diving into the Word. We're challenging each other. That's the kind of environment we want here. So we thank You, Father. So you just talk to Him right now. You just open up your hearts to Him. Here I am, Lord. It's not about me. What do You desire? I'm getting in the game. I'm going to get on the field. I'm going to get my jersey dirty. I'm not going to be a spectator anymore. I'm going to work with You. I'm going to partner with You. Oh, we thank You, Father. So we give You praise. We give You glory. Lord, we pray about the vision of the church and the mission of the church. We see a community of believers strongly connected to You and to each other. Lord, just that is not easy to do. Praying for that here at Good News Church. Community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, Word of God and prayer, led by the Spirit, powered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, to be able, life givers, reaching their world and beyond with the good news, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, then we thank You for our mission. This is what we do every day. Every day we do this. We empower people to give life. Lord, help us to raise up life givers. Help us to do that here. To be able to go into their world and give life. Help us to bring more tools, more skills to do that. And Lord, I just thank You for the Holy Spirit. You're helping us get rid of these distractions. Lord, You're helping us get our time, our schedule together, letting go of some things, picking up some other things, maybe denying ourselves. Oh, I thank You, Father. And then I pray, Lord, for harmony and unity and one accord here. No schisms, no division, no place for the enemy to be lurking and working. And Lord, then I pray everybody in their place, everybody bringing their gifts. Lord, this would be a church of devoted Christians. Thank You for it, Father. Excited about what's to come. Thank You for this prayer time this week. You just orchestrate every minute of it. Every minute that we're coming together and people's prayer time. Every minute. Just the most amazing prayer we've ever had. Another level. Exactly what You want to do. We'll follow You. We'll listen to You. And then I thank You, Lord, You speak to us. You speak to this congregation. You speak to each person here. You speak to the families. You speak to us. Show us things to come. Thank You for it, Father. Praise You for it. Jesus' name. Amen. Who wants to close it? Who's?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was reminded in the earlier in the service, as we were praying when Grayson came up and was ministering to us and with that word, I was just reminded years and years ago when we first started the church, during a time of prayer, the Lord said to me, he said, "I've chosen this city to demonstrate my goodness." And that just came up again as if it was the first time he said it to me. "I've chosen this city." Not that he hasn't chosen other cities, but he's chosen this city to show forth, to put on a display, to put on a demonstration of his goodness. He wants to show his goodness here. And I'm going to tell you, that was 20-something years ago he said that. And we haven't seen it. And I was just reminded about that. Lord, show your goodness in this city. And may we partner with you to do our part. May we align ourselves with you. Because you will show it. Show your goodness through your people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good. If you don't know him, I tell you, he wants to know you. And he made a way through his son Jesus to know you. Jesus is the one who took the penalty. Matt talked a lot about the crucifixion. He did all that because you sinned. He did all that because we messed up. He did all that because we were wrong. And he took all that wrongness, all the sin, he took it on himself and died. Because the penalty for sin is death. He died our death. He died your death. And he offers you forgiveness. He offers you rightness. He makes you right. Hallelujah. If you'll put your trust in that, say, "Hey, yeah, I get that. I receive that. I'm letting you take the rap for me, Jesus. And I'm letting you make me right. Make me right. I receive that." Boy, that's the start of a whole new life of knowing him. Hallelujah. I encourage you, if you've never done that, to do that very thing. Praise God.